And she finds new love in romantic traffic, a place where dreams turn off and on like the street lights.
Let's start way back, 1980. What compelled a group of teenagers from Burlington, Ontario to get together and form a band?
Well, you know, we had bands all the way through school, but we never thought we had a chance at anything. And when New Wave hit, it just opened up the doors to all kinds of music. You know, we were actually prog rock nerds, Sandy and I,
yeah.
You know, played Genesis kind of music. I remember we did our first, gigs in high school at the, you know, the Christmas Assembly. And it wasn't very radio friendly kind of music. And we never thought we would do anything except when New Wave hit, because everything was possible, right? You had like Gary Numan, you had the B-52s, you had, you know, the variety was insane. So we thought, wait a second, maybe we have a shot at this.
Now, I also want to find out how exactly you came up with the name The Spoons.
How I remember it, we were at our original keyboard player's place for lunch, we were kind of trying to come up with a name for the band, and we were kind of thinking like a single name, like The Doors, The Cars, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we were having soup, and Brett threw me a spoon because I didn't have one, and it splashed all over me. And I'm not sure whether it was Gord or it was Brett, said, "What about spoons?" Yeah. And I went, "Oh, okay." And I'm dripping wet.
You know, it's funny, I interview a lot of different bands, and really at the end of the day, I'm always waiting for that really, you know, deep meaning to some of the names. And 9 times out of 10, it's exactly like you just said it, Sandy. It's just this very mundane, just sort of, let's do that name, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. And for a long time, we thought, why did we pick that name? Because it's so simple and kind of goofy in a way. But you know what? It's good because it's not overly complicated. People remember it. You know, it's not too difficult.
Now, Gord, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I want to attempt to get to the heart of the Spoons sound. When you listen to hits like Romantic Traffic, Nova Heart, Old Emotions, Tell No Lies, I mean, these songs, at least to my ear, are all fairly different. So maybe talk to me about the music that inspires the band. I mean, I understand that it may have had something to do with an orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark concert that you attended in the early 80s.
Yeah, we went through some changes, and growing up, you know, the first album we made before we even wrote Nova Heart was pretty raw. You know, I was into Talking Heads. It was very sort of punky. I didn't really know how to sing yet and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you're right. I went and saw Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark at a little thing, and I kind of went, wait a second, we should be part of that scene, because it was kind of like what we were doing with prog rock anyway. You know, we should be more like Simple Minds, like OMD, like Ultravox. And then we worked with John Punter, who'd worked with some of those bands, and there we had Nova Heart and Aries and Symphony. So all of a sudden we found that. And you mentioned some other songs like Tell No Lies and My Traffic. Those are the mid-80s, and we did those with Nile Rodgers, who's like comes from a funk background. All of a sudden we're more sort of mainstream American funky sounding. I mean, over the life of a band, you kind of do different things, but I have to say, when we do all these songs together live, they really fit together. It's not like they're different bands.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So your second studio album came out in 1982. It vaulted the band to a whole new level of success. I mean, you started opening for bands like, I think it was the Police, Culture Club, and as you said, Simple Minds. Talk to me a bit about what that time was like for you guys. I mean, that whole experience.
Wow. It was endless. Like one thing after another. Sandy, you remember, it was just like, probably 82, 83. We're like I can't even remember what happened in what order, because it was just a bombardment of things like coming at us.
There was no stopping. We were just constant on the road, in the studio, on the road, in the studio.
Making videos. That's the beginning of the video age. Videos, all of a sudden we had to do that too, you know. That was a whole new medium.
Well, and now speaking of that, I also understand that you guys had among one of the first videos ever played on Much Music in 84. I mean, if that isn't a sign that you've made it, then I don't know what is, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Welcome to Much Music. We have, you know, we have videos by Duran Duran, Howard Jones, and the Spoons, and the rest was history. That was the first episode. And like before that, there was the New Music, remember, with J.D. Roberts and Jeannie Becker, and they played Nova Heart and stuff. But that was even before Much Music began.
For a band that hit their stride and then peaked on the charts in the 80s, I mean, you guys have managed to endure over the decades and stay popular and relevant thanks to, I don't know, lots of touring, steady release of new music, greatest hits packages, re-releases, and or anniversary editions. What's the secret to your success and enduring appeal? I mean, is it too simplistic to just say, well, it's the music that's led to the band's longevity?
After the 80s, during the 90s, we put out the collectibles, and then things, you know, we got married, had kids and stuff, and we did pursued other musical endeavors because, you know, the 80s sound was now replaced by the 90s and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so we were just playing periodically as the band. We never actually physically broke up. But in 2011, fans started reaching out to us to, you guys should put out a new album. You should do something new. You should do. So we tested it out. We put out two songs, Imperfect. And what was the other side of that song?
Breaking In.
And it turned into a full album of Static and Transmission. And that was really what started the wheel starting to move again. Because we put out new music, and then we put out another live album in 2019 called New Day, New World, just as the pandemic is coming in. Foresight there.
Yeah, I mean, we never thought in a million years that the 80s would ever come back. Like when the 90s and grunge thought, we thought that was it. You know, it was done forever. Mm-hmm. Like I remember having another band and recording demos, and the record companies go, you know, I just put it in a brown paper bag. Don't even tell people you were in an 80s band because it was bad, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was pretty soon, like it was like the mid 90s that all of a sudden this retro 80s phenomenon started up, and it's still going. It's a worldwide phenomenon. But, and we know that the new generation's into that music, not only because there are a lot of the new young bands have an 80s flavor to them, but some of the parents will come out and they bring their kids. They, well, did you force them to come out? No, they actually like 80s music.
Yeah.
You know, they listen to it and they like the bands that sound that way.
Yeah. Well, and as a child of the 80s, I remember very distinctly, you know, the 80s music, the 80s style, all that stuff was mocked back then. And now we look back on it fondly. So it's funny how times change.
I think it was more about the, you know, the crazy hair and the shoulder pads and the fashions. You put that aside, it was really good music, great production, great musicians, and mostly great creativity. I mean, one band didn't sound like the other, right? Like now there's a lot of, because you have to all sound like you're on the Voice or America's Got Talent, instead of the same band over and over and over again, or the same performer. Back then, man, nobody else sounds like Robert Smith. Nobody else sounds like Susie from the Banshees. Nobody else sounds like the guy from Psychedelic Furs. You know, they had voices that were their own.
Yeah,
I agree. And then once the visual medium kicked in with Much Music and MTV, it just took off, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the good and the bad and the ugly, though. It wasn't all, you know, perfect. Like, we had some experiences doing video. I mean, nobody, it was kind of weird because they kind of wanted us to be actors. We're not actors, right?
No.
So that's why my favorite video is Romantic Traffic. It's just us being ourselves, you know. We're not pretending to be something else. It was something else. Like, San, you probably have some experiences from doing videos. It was really important back then to get known, right?
Exactly. And it was like the new medium now for getting out there. It was no longer just radio. It was also TV and video. Mm-hmm. And even
and there's Sandy in a tutu, like for Nova Heart, right? Like, that was so on rock and roll. Like, we're looking through this window, the secret garden. We're all dressed in white. And there's Sandy on a swing with a tutu on. And then she's in this bed with this orb glowing. People are going, what is this? Is this science fiction? Is this, you know, what is this? But it was so different that we were, overnight, everybody knew who we were because of that video.
Now, Gord, you've also been moonlighting as the guitarist for Flock of Seagulls. How did that gig come together, and what's the experience been like for you?
Oh, it's great. It's I've been with them 5 years now. We played together in 82 at the Police picnic, both opening for the Police at the Grandstand in Toronto. And we were the two young bands and on the bill. Didn't really talk much. We have some great pictures of back then. But and then we met again. You know, we were doing a charity show up here about, I don't know, 35 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I mean, 35 years later, so 5 years ago. And Mike, the singer, came up without his band. And he said, you know, he's going to be part of this thing. I said, whoever the band is, can they play, you know, just back me up for a couple of songs? And it went from there. He really liked what I did, I guess. And and called me up. And yeah, it was very cool to get into that. And it's really helped the Spoons as well, because we've done shows together. Yeah. I made a lot of connections in America, but because of that, you know, we do shows in the U.S. and we just did 80s in the Sand in Cancun, big 80s festival. All sort of comes out of that. And Sandy's kind of doing the same thing now, you know, with some British bands. You know, it's kind of like Gowan. Like, you know, he's got his thing, but he's also singer for Styx, you know. And Phil X, guitar player from Canada, you know, plays for Bon Jovi. So a lot of great talent in Canada. You know? I don't know if you can talk about your thing, can you, Sandy, or not?
I think so. I'm working on it. It sounds like it's a go, at least for two shows.
Yeah. Well, you did play. You also played with Con Can, which is another Canadian band, but there's a British band, right? You're working with?
Yeah, China Crisis. They are coming up for a few North American dates, and they've asked me to play bass. So I'm like, okay. So I'm learning up 15 songs right now.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, and the idea is, I think what they're trying to do is have like a full European band for over in Europe and so forth, and then have a North American band so they don't have to have all the costs of, some players. So that's the idea. So it's kind of a test pilot. And if it's all a go, then I guess I might be getting some more US dates and stuff.
So what does the future hold for the Spoons? I mean, are we going to see any new music or more touring, or what's on the go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always do all the festivals, summer festivals. There's a big 80s tour with a bunch of bands planned for cross country later this year. Mm-hmm. But we're still like, because of COVID, everything we did during the pandemic is kind of still got legs on it. Like that new album we put out, most people don't even know about it. So we're still working that record. Mm-hmm. There's no rush to do new stuff right now, you know, or at least release it.
Yeah.
And we just put out another record, I don't know if you're aware of, called Echoes, which is all these other 80s bands from across the world doing our songs. You know, obviously Canadians like Gowan and Glass Tiger and Strange Advance, stuff like that, but also British and Australian and American bands that are in there. And the whole thing went toward the Unison Fund, which is helping musicians and crews and whoever, you know, indie people to make, you know, to keep working or at least have some kind of income during this time, which is, you know, music is really badly hit by you know, like a lot of things, obviously. By the pandemics. Yeah.
And we also put out a double vinyl release called Repeatable, which is the span of 40 years of Spoons music. Came out in double vinyl, obviously downloads and CD.
Mm-hmm. And how cool is that, double vinyl? That's like, you know, as a kid, that was a big deal. Remember when you bought a double vinyl? It's like, especially when you can open it up, right? You open it up and you're just immersed in that world.
That nostalgia kicks in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Finally, I've seen you guys live a number of times over the years. And I just want to say that one of the things that I look back on fondly is actually after the show, just to see the love that, you know, the fans have for you and how much you guys reciprocate that and just how accommodating you are with your fans. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to see and experience. And I guess I really just want to say thank you for being you.
Oh, thanks.
But we like it. We don't just do it because we have to. We actually, one of the few artists that a lot of people just want to go back to their hotel or, you know, sit backstage and have a beer or whatever. No, we like to go and hear the people's stories. You know, sometimes the best stuff happens after a show when people tell us, I've heard everything from like, hey, you know, this is my wife. We met at your concert in high school and that was our first date. And another person, I had my first kiss when doing one of your shows. Or in one case, like a guy who served over in, I'm not sure where, but in the army, and every day he would put his earbuds in and start the day with Novaheart as they were marching.
Wow.
And it was just wow. Like, there's some just great stories that just round up the night. And so it's not even about us, that after show. I mean, they want our autographs to say hi, but you know, tell us your stories because they kind of make the whole thing complete.
I appreciate you taking this time. Thank you very much for
thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I hope you can make your way out to Alberta at some point. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.